If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have the top-rated Star Trek podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Adam Pranica.
I'm your other host, Ben Harrison.
Ben Harrison.
Yes.
I don't know if you have been checking our drunkshimoda@gmail.com email box lately.
I'm not as good about checking it as you are.
We got a special emailer that sent us a message, Ben.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
I'm going to read you the email, and then I'm going to read you the signature.
Okay.
And that'll be the big reveal.
Okay. Oh, is it Armus?
Dear Adam and Ben, I may be an old man, but I'm working on being a dirty old man, so let him rip. The jokes, not the farts. Signed, Biff.
What? Is that the Biff?
Look,
As in Jaeger?
I had questioned the authenticity of the sender, but I will tell you that I checked into it. It is the man himself.
What?
Yeah, Biff Jaeger reached out.
That's a natural Jaeger.
That is a natural Jaeger. That's one of the natural Jaegers that you can get.
Damn, that's great.
Pretty great. It sounds like he's listening because he's pretty hip to the dick and fart jokes.
you don't just
say something like that unless you've heard the pod, right?
Right, or he saw any tweet about the show.
Yeah. Anyway, that really put a hop in my step. I thought that was great.
Mr. Jaeger, thank you so much for writing in. We make a lot of silly jokes, but we really are true fans, and
it comes from a place of love for sure.
We hugely appreciate it. That man, that feels amazing.
I know, right? And now that we have his email address, we can officially invite him to Greatest Gen Con 2017.
Oh snap! So there'll be three of us in that Red Roof Inn hotel.
Yeah,
room.
We might have to spring for the two double beds room instead of just the big king.
Yeah.
Which is all we could afford initially.
Yeah. wow. Really exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Before we get to the episode, I have a little announce. I got to interview Zachary Quinto, the Mr. Spock in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek reboot series. For a podcast that I am producing and co-hosting for my job called the Made Man Podcast. So go download the Made Man Podcast and give it a listen, and you'll hear me talking to Zachary Quinto.
You son of a bitch. You're plugging another podcast, and you're bragging about interviewing Zachary Quinto, which, by the way, I'm not hearing about until this moment.
I just kind of got firmed up like on my way out of the office today. So,
wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I'm a big fan of Zachary Quinto. I think that our listeners have different feelings about the new films. I kind of like him. I think that he might be the best part, or one of the best parts.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I think he's great. With that, Do you want to turn the page to the first episode in the Slickback trilogy?
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
The bonding.
This episode starts out with the B team of away teams.
Yeah, it's really true.
And it's like they're doing some sweeps of an archaeological site. And this is one of those, like, we saved a lot of money on no planet set.
Yeah, you only get the beam back. You don't get the beam down.
Yeah. So it's like Worf and a bunch of nobodies are down there. And Troy gets real worried all of a sudden and says, like, get him out of there. And then by the time they're beamed back up, everybody's singed and smoking. Because an explodo has gone off.
Yeah. I mean, the away team was playing Indiana Jones down there. And I don't know why Worf leads that away team.
Right.
Like, who's the guy who's going to be the most handy in a situation where you're, like, banging around some caves and looking for things? It's got to be Geordi, right? Why isn't Geordi on that away team?
Oh, yeah, because of his ability to see through things and whatnot.
Right? That's what I'm thinking exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if Indy had a visor, he could have totally seen that giant ball trap.
Yeah, and he may have been able to more accurately gauge how heavy the bag of sand needed to be when he took that one gold statue.
Yeah, and he could have fired very accurately his gun at that guy whipping the saber around at him.
Mm-hmm. And when he found that that girl in that bar in the Himalayas, he could have been way creepier around her.
So, yeah, there it is. They beam right back up to sickbay, and there's a fatality on this away team.
Yeah.
It's Marla Astor.
The Marla Astor?
It is the Marla Astor, who we have never met before. And so the feelings about her death are not immediately acute at this moment. Outside of the idea that Worf is just covered in her gore.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Picard runs to Six Bay to assess the situation, and he's pretty crushed by the idea. I don't get the feeling that he loses a lot of crew members on away teams.
No, and I think that maybe you can be more, you can go into that situation having known it was a risk if you didn't think that they were out spelunking and looking for relics.
Yeah, like her job title was Chief Archaeologist, so
which is a super red shirty job title on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Like, a job title you do not want is Chief Archaeologist or 20th century historian.
Yeah.
But she was a blue shirt, and she bought the farm.
In the near term, they're like, well, who's her next of kin? And it's learned that she has a son and no husband, and her son's in class.
Yeah.
Jeremy is about to get spoken to in class today.
Yeah, yeah. And they even, like, call down and tell the teacher, like, we're going to come speak to Jeremy after class.
And they're kind of drawing straws about who's going to do it. And Worf is like, it's got to be me. I was with her. I led the team. And you look at Worf, and he is covered in cherry jello. Like,
yeah.
Like, there is brain matter and hair. And, like, he looks like a horror movie. He looks really bad. And he does not want to change. He wants to go right to the classroom.
Yeah, it probably, like, actually kind of tiptoed up to the line of what was okay to show on TV, blood and guts-wise, at the time. Like, it's a upsetting bit of stage makeup they've got going on there. they gave him the raspberry.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Pieces of him are smoking, still.
Yeah. And it's not Jeremy's vape pen.
So it is Picard that ends up having the conversation with Jeremy.
Yeah, and it's the timing of all of this early stuff is a little weird, because they toss randomly in a scene of Worf in, like, a blue place, like, using a knife to put out a candle. And you can tell that Worf is like already into some heavy like Klingon death ritual shit at this point. But he's like in that blue room, and then Picard is sitting down with Jeremy to tell him the bad news.
Right. And you don't get an official montage, but you do go around the horn a little bit with how people are processing the grief of
right.
of this crewman's death. Like, so you get Worf in what I believe is the holodeck, doing a little mini ceremony with the knife and the candle. And then you get Riker in 10 forward drinking the pink lemonade of grief and confiding that he totally fucked her.
We spent some time together.
It's like, I didn't know her, but in the biblical sense, sure.
Yeah, like, it's pretty transparent that what Riker's talking about is a fling, and that's about it.
Yeah. I thought that the scene where Picard talked to Jeremy was pretty good. Like, it's a child actor, and this actor is being asked to portray a young boy who's learning that his mother has died and his father died a few years previous to that. And I thought his performance was really good. I thought the kind of emotional impact of the scene, it really worked for me. Like, this is not an easy thing to pull off, I don't think. So as many silly things that happen in this episode after this, like, I think that this was the thing that really needed to work, and it worked for me. Did you agree?
Yeah, I really do. And it pains me to say it because I really like Will Wheaton a lot. I'm a big fan. But
yeah. But the
way that the Wesley character processes grief and the way that this child actor processes it, I feel like the slickback kid does it better.
Yeah.
Well, and it shouldn't be that way.
It's written better for the kid. And
they give him less to do. I mean, to be fair,
sure. Like,
I think they ask a lot of Will Wheaton to deliver some pretty shitty dialogue.
Right. They also put like a 4 millimeter thick layer of pancake makeup on Wesley in this episode. So he's got a thick mask to act through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's really troweled on.
It is. It looks like the sets in the Mintaken village.
Like, it looks like a makeup version of this old house.
Yeah, bad stucco job. Oh, you're gonna want to trowel on this stucco really thick and really cover up some of that adolescent acne.
Now you don't want to put too much on there.
Now if you're gonna build a corner on the face, you're gonna take some makeup, put it in a miter box, and measure out a 45-degree angle.
Oh man, yeah, bad impression cast just isn't gonna stop. Can't stop, won't stop.
This old enterprise.
Yeah.
Fun one.
So it isn't long between the time that Jeremy's informed of his mother's death. You see the grief of several crew members. And then you go back around to Jeremy again, and his mom appears in her quarters.
Right.
Ghost mom.
You didn't expect me to come back as a mother, did you, Theo?
And the thing about ghost mom is that she is giving off way strong Pamela Voorhees vibes.
The counselors weren't paying any attention. They were making love while that young boy drowned.
You get what I'm putting down here?
You're going to have to flesh that out.
Like Jason's mom from the Friday the 13th movie, the original.
And today is his birthday.
Okay, that's a franchise that I never got into, so.
Oh, man. The original is pretty great. Pretty great and pretty culty, but the actress who plays her in that old movie takes the cake for crazy moms. And Jeremy's mom, in this case, Jeremy's ghost mom, I should say, really has those vibes big time.
Yeah, so let's talk about what the two, like the A and the B story are. Unclear which is the A, unclear which is the B. I would say they sort of get equal time.
They're kind of braided together.
Right. So conflict one is Worf really wants to get this kid roped into a Klingon ritual that will make the kid a member of Worf's house. Like he will become a member of Worf's Klingon family. And
we added another orphan to Orphan Club.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And thing B is, what the fuck is going on where this kid whose mom is definitely dead is creeping around the ship all the time?
That's accurate. That's an accurate description of the A and B stories.
Yeah. A C storyline that I sort of wish they would have addressed is there's a few times when somebody will come by to like check in on the kid, like, I don't know, like Worf or Troy or somebody will come like poke their head in on him, just like see how he's doing with his grief. And they depict him as like sitting alone in his quarters, like with an iPad, watching old videos of his parents. And it's like, are they literally just letting him live alone in this apartment by himself? He's like nine, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Like, in any other context, in any other location, that doesn't fly, right?
Creepy as fuck.
You actually get to live alone when your parents die on a starship? That's a thing? Because that sounds great.
I mean, like, Wesley...
The boy.
...has some demonstrated maturity at this point. It's less implausible that he got to live alone for a year, but...
Jeremy's a little far away from getting a Jim Belushi poster in his condo.
Do you think all the other ensigns on the ship fucking hate Wesley's guts because he had an apartment to himself for a year?
God, I don't know.
Because they probably all bunk together, right? In like twos and fours.
They'd have to.
So they're looking at this kid, not even a real ensign. He's gotten a provisional field commission, and he's living large and in charge in one of the corner office type apartments.
Oh, I think the bad in Wesley's service outweighs the good in in many cases, Ben. I don't think there's much for the other enlisted crewmen to be jealous of.
Fair enough. It is a guiding principle of a Starfleet base. Have you not find it within yourself
to stand up, tell the truth? You don't deserve to wear that uniform. So, Marla is the name of Jeremy's mom.
Yeah. Lieutenant Astor. And she's out of uniform.
Yeah,
and she's just in full on 80s mom getup.
And in the near term, after Jeremy's mom dies, for her to appear, Jeremy is not surprisingly very happy to see her.
Yeah.
Like he believes that the away team mission was a lie or a mistake for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally willing to hang out with his mom again. You can't blame him at all.
No.
Because she looks exactly like her. She's really nice. She's talking about wanting to set up shop on the planet. I mean, that part's weird, I guess. But in all other ways, like, she sort of recreates the old house.
Yeah. Yeah,
in their quarters.
Their quarters become an Earth-based home. Like, there's trees out the window and stuff.
Jeremy's not sophisticated to understand that he's being manipulated. All he sees is, like, the advantages of being with Ghost Mom. And I think they're pretty numerous. I totally buy his interest.
And also, like, in his defense, the special effects are super well done. Like, every time the room, like, shifts, there's only, like, one or two where, like, it's not dead perfect.
Well, the trick in doing that shift is not showing anyone's feet, because when they cut back and forth between crew quarters and fake Earth condo,
mm-hmm.
if they were to depict where the people are standing, they're, like, quite a bit above and quite a bit below the floor of the quarters.
Right.
So like, you block that scene specifically so that, as an editor, you take that out of play. And it totally works.
Yeah. It's sold and purchased.
Yeah. So, I guess if there is a C storyline, they're trying to figure out how this accident happened. Right?
Right.
And so they send Geordi down, which they should have sent him down from the start. They send Geordi down into the caves. And he finds these little landmines down there, right?
Yeah. They're, like, subspace shielded so a tricorder wouldn't pick them up, and this is a cool little piece of prop.
Yeah.
I thought they're also detecting this like weird energy fountain coming off the surface of the planet, and
right,
poking the belly of the ship. And it doesn't take a super long time for them to figure out that this is what is causing Finger Flexion's Marla to appear on the ship.
Yeah.
So now that there's this like technical question, like, oh, like, can we remodulate something to get this thing to go away? But it's like, it's the stakes feel real high because like Troy is working super hard to help this kid process his grief, and this perfect facsimile of his mother has appeared, and that's thrown everything into disarray. Like,
it's sort of like a double jeopardy of grief. Like, yeah, how many times are you going to make this poor kid go through the loss of his mom?
Yeah, and like Wes is starting to chew back through all of the shitty feelings he has surrounding the fact that Picard was the one that ordered his father to go on the mission that he lost his life on, and now he's like here, like being bossed around by Picard in a context in which this other kid is going through the same thing, and
yeah,
part of that
like
is
he gets
like,
to see it in retrospect and also see it in front of him, like to relive it again, to watch Picard tell another kid that their parent got killed.
Yeah,
like it's got to be a head fuck.
It's rough. I mean, it's
and they do that really well in this episode. Like, yeah, God, they are so fucking ham-fisted with so much. But I think they get death really right on this show.
Yeah, I mean, when it's not inflicted by Q or whatever, like if it's like the personal experience of different, yeah, people, like all of the characters have very well fleshed out like sides of themselves when it comes to death. Like, and like Troy is super well written in this episode, I think.
Yeah.
Like she's really like super professional and like really like feeling for everybody and trying to help them go through those feelings in a way that is not going to like cause long-term damage to their minds and stuff.
And she's got so many plates in the air too. Like, it's right, not just about this Jeremy kid. It's, yeah, about Picard and Wesley and Beverly
and
Worf. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Worf's easy to deal with because all you know, like she knows that all he wants to do is do this ceremony, and as long as she can get him to like press pause until the kid is like well enough to do it, it's going to be okay.
At this point, we still don't know exactly what the ceremony entails, but you got to believe it's going to be fucking rugged.
Yeah. All we know about it so far is that there's candles and knives involved.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a power glove's going to be around there somewhere. Someone's going to bleed.
Yeah.
My love is a fever, long and chill for that, which longer nurses the disease.
They see this piece of energy rising from the planet, and they're like, well, we have the ability to shut it off. Let's go ahead and modulate the shields and shut it off, even though that's going to remove the Jeremy's mom simulation from the quarters. Like, that's the right thing to do. We've got to do it. Let's just do it. And so, yeah, they zap it. They take her away. And as expected, this kind of infuriates Jeremy.
Right.
Who is sort of game to go live on the planet with his ghost mom.
Right. Well, I mean, all he knows is that that's what his mom was telling him they were going to do. So he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Yeah. And little by little at this point, people are starting to chip away at the fantasy that Jeremy's constructed in his mind. Like, they're like, would your real mom ever want to take you off the ship and set up shop on a weird planet somewhere? Like, does that seem like the actions of the mom that you remember? Like, they start planting seeds of doubt on him, which I think is a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, I mean,
Ghost Mom doesn't do herself any favors either, because she acts weirder and weirder as time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that like the main lingering question I had about this character was like, what exactly is this character based on? Like, how do the entities creating it know like what it's supposed to look like, act like, sound like, what its values are supposed to be? Like, all of that stuff is coming from a very specific viewpoint, but I didn't feel like we ever really like got to understanding like why.
Can we be sure it's not actually Kevin in disguise? Captain Picard, I've come back to help the boy. I'll take him down to the planet. I'll build him a new house.
I made another real doll, a little bit younger than my previous one. Pretty easy on the eyes, isn't she?
I can't stop breaking your rules.
I'm a man of special conscience and special sexual appetite.
So, yeah, I mean, several episodes, season three, it's all about running into omnipotent, all-powerful characters, isn't it?
Yeah, so they were in these ruins and looking at this, at the remains of a civilization that they were aware of. What they were not aware of was that this planet was previously inhabited by corporeal beings and also non-corporeal beings. And those non-corporeals are still chilling. And they are the ones that are shooting this energy fountain at the Enterprise. And they're the ones creating Marla. And their logic is, we like saw this tragedy happen to this poor woman. And it's like the last like senseless death in this war that totally wiped out our civilizational counterparts in the corporeal aliens that lived here. Mm-hmm. So, which is like, holy mackerel. Like, can you believe that this show actually like gets to that as the explanation? like what other television show is that like a reasonable solution to a mystery?
Yeah,
it totally like defies everything except for somehow they like sell it in this.
Yeah,
I don't know why it works.
It just does. By the time they wrapped up this conflict, there's really no time for there to be any other explanation. Like, Worf gets his Rushdie time with Jeremy.
Yeah, the bonding.
I suppose we could use its English translation if you prefer. How would you describe the bonding, Ben?
Candle hangs in the blue room.
Yeah.
It's sort of
a club environment.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that it was your average candlelight vigil minus sticking the candles through a paper plate. Like, yeah. They didn't have any paper plates around. Maybe they forgot to replicate them or something.
Yeah, surprisingly blood-free for a Klingon event.
Yeah, but the kid gets like a cool Klingon like over vest to put on.
Yeah.
And Worf's got like a ceremonial sash that's different looking than his normal sash.
Michael Dorn does that thing where he opens his eyes really wide when he's doing something Klingon.
Yeah, yeah.
I just love that.
It's igniting his senses.
Yeah. Like someone broke an ammonia capsule under his nose. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to this ongoing Jeremy Worf storyline.
Yeah, it's going to be great, right?
Yeah.
Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
Moms, can't live with them, can't find a great gift for them. It's madness, and it's the same every year. Mother's Day comes around and it's like, what's it going to be this year? Another robe? Another candle? Slippers? A sweater? Flowers? We've got to do better than that, right? Well, you can, and it's actually the best gift you could possibly give a loved one. An Aura frame. Now, we have a policy to only do ads on our show for things that we actually like and use, and I gotta tell you, the Aura frame is probably the best gift I've ever given. The folks I've given an Aura frame to love it. And I love it too, because when you give an Aura frame, you're not just giving a person a bunch of old pictures, you're giving them new pictures every time you send one to it. Right now, Aura has a great sale for Mother's Day. Viewers can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com, and the code is SCARVES at checkout to show your support for the show. Terms and conditions apply.
Mother's Day is coming up, and one of the best gifts you can give a mom that you might share a bed with is doing some yard work downstairs, if you know what I mean, with Manscaped. This season, make sure you groom your carpets and your drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants to let the mother of your children know how much you appreciate her continuing to put up with you.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
What'd you think of this episode, Ben?
I mean, like, in talking to you about it, I have more respect for it than I did in watching it. Like, I don't think it's a great episode by any extent, but
it helped to talk out your grief, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and there's this scene where the pivotal scene where they talk Jeremy out of believing this thing is his actual mother is real weird, because it's kind of one of those group therapy scenes that used to just be universally bad in seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah, like in the this, two-way mirror, the weird box of toys, the medical practitioners looking and taking notes.
Yeah, this scene is like really well written for Picard and Troy.
Yeah,
and Wes is in there, and it's like, every time it cuts to him, he has some terrible line. Like, and it's it's all he can do to deliver, like, it's all Will Wheaton can do to deliver them with feeling, but, like, they're so badly written.
On the one hand, I feel like our program is particularly harsh on Wesley as a character / Will as an actor, but, I mean, the sidecar to that criticism every time is always, the material he has is just not great. And yeah. I don't know if anyone can succeed in those conditions.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this is his last season, isn't it? His last season before the break, or does he have a few more?
I think he might go through 4.
Regardless, that has to be a reason that he leaves the show, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine it was pretty frustrating to get this script and have to go on set with it.
Especially when you see, like, the nuanced way that characters are being built all around him. Like, God, that's got to be even more infuriating.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching Troy and Picard have their turbo lift scene, and it's like crushing and great.
Yeah.
And then you have to do your own scene with your character's mom in sickbay, and it's just like treacly and gross. And God, I don't know. It's a real bipolar episode emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a weird one.
Yeah. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Adam.
Did you find a Drunk Shimoda?
Incredible.
Drunk Shimoda!
Drunk Shimoda is the award we give to a character who's acting a fool. And in this episode... Oh, we should talk about this. The Drunk Shimoda got a little name check on an article written by Danny Roth on... the 10 most hated Star Trek episodes of all time. This is really exciting.
Oh, the end of that headline is "that deserve a second chance," which I think is has to be said.
Yeah,
these are terrible episodes.
Yeah, I think that maybe we have given the Naked Now the only reason it deserves a second chance, because now people have to watch it to find out why we keep saying drunk Shimoda in every episode.
Shimoda's described as acting like an inebriated baby, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
God, I love him.
We should copy that phraseology.
Yeah.
Well, my drunk Shimoda was these non-corporeal aliens that created the Marla Astor projection.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, it's just, like, seems like such a crazy plan that they had. Like, why did they think that this was going to fix the situation?
Well, Picard calls them out on it. He's like, so what do you do when this kid's a teenager? Or when he becomes an adult? Like, it's like they bought a puppy and didn't buy any pet food or a cage or have a place with a backyard. Like, they're just in love with the puppy for some reason.
They totally walked by one of those windows in New York City and saw the French bulldogs running around in the sawdust and were like, let's take one home.
The slickback breed is just so cute when he's young, right?
Oh, yeah. Those slickbacks
gotta take him home.
Real cutie pies.
Yeah, but the hip dysplasia is just a real nightmare.
How about you? Do you have a drunk Shimoda?
I mean, for me, I really admire that Worf takes it on the chin and goes like, yeah, it's on me. I'm the leader of the away team. As the leader, I'm responsible for those in my care and everything that goes down while we're on a mission. But the idea that he could walk into a primary school classroom covered in gore to deliver the news to Jeremy personally, like, man, I totally get that he wanted to do it quick and to do it like right then and there. But yeah. Man, you gotta change your clothes, dude. Like, take a shower. Think about what you're going to say. Shower time can give you some good contemplative time to just sort of figure out how you want to do this. And then go in there a little April fresh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, drunk Shimoda goes to Worf for me.
Fair enough.
I am the cutest of all. There are four lights.
What do we have coming up on the next episode?
Next episode is Season 3, Episode 6, Booby Trap. The Enterprise is caught in a booby trap.
The titular booby trap?
That captures the ship and converts its energy into lethal levels of radiation. Boobs!
I remember this episode, Ben. I'm hearing the gasps from our viewers out there. This is the first time potentially I've ever said this.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, is it?
That I can remember. Like, I should put that caveat in there. Like,
yeah.
I have not seen this episode since I was very young. I remember really, really loving this episode.
I remember liking it too. I mean, it's definitely the episode that fully takes Creepazoid Geordi out for a spin.
Yeah, they grab the keys to Creep Geordi.
Yeah.
put her
in drive and take her around the block.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good ep. I'm looking forward to it. And we might as well leave it at that since neither of us has any vetoes to attempt to use.
It's true. If you'd like to talk about booby trap, booby traps of any kind, or any of the other episodes we've reviewed already, you can reach out to us on Twitter using the hashtag GreatestGen. I am on Twitter as @CutForTime. Ben, also on Twitter as @BenjaminR, AHR.
We're on the Maximum Fun subreddit, and there's also a Greatest Gen subreddit. Both of them are great places to talk about the episode, and please mind your P's and Q's on the Maximum Fun one so that they don't get mad about what creeps we all are.
You can be like Biff Yeager and send us an email if you want. We're at drunkshimoda@gmail.com. Look, if you ask us for Biff Yeager's email address, we're not going to give it to you, so don't even try.
Little update on t-shirts. I talked to a friend of ours today who's going to help work up the design, and I'm expecting proofs very soon, or, drafts very soon. So, we're still working as hard as we can to get that done ASAP, and we are super excited to get it done. We just want the first one to be like really perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, got to come out of the gates hot. Yeah, I mean, this first T-shirt's gonna be like a cut-off mesh style T-shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm pushing for.
Very nipple revealing.
Right.
We're on Facebook. We've got a page and a group. If you can find one, you can probably find the other. Those are very active places as well, and we really appreciate everybody that's gotten involved.
This laundry list of credits is getting longer and longer.
It really is.
But what we're trying to say is, there's nowhere for us to hide anymore.
Yeah. Also, one last thing before we go, we should thank Dark Materia for our music, and a listener named Nick Anderson on SoundCloud as Mr. Nickel Music, NICKLE, sent in a song he made that is kind of, it's like clips from TNG that sort of evoke the spirit of our show, and I thought it was really great, and so we're going to throw that on the end of the episode today.
Yeah.
So make sure you listen through to the end.
I think one of the best parts of our show is when viewers send us things that they've made. I think that's super fun.
It's super cool. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Nick. And yeah, he makes like kids music too, so I think that's what mostly his SoundCloud is devoted to. But I'm sure everybody with kids will enjoy that.
Yeah, hopefully you're not playing our show in front of your kids.
Yeah, that would be a bad idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, with that, we will be back at you next time with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and a very booby episode of The Greatest Generation. Make it so.
Wesley's education.
No problem. Where women are concerned, I am in complete control.
Wesley Crusher. What does he know about it?
You're welcome, ladies.
The hope is to recognize I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night. You are the heart of my day.
You are the greatest generation.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.